for joining us, and a big yeshoach to Ellie for putting this together. It's so significant that as a person is going through the stages of being pre-med and pre-dent, that a person feels the proper sense of chevra and chizuk that often is needed in those stages of life. Speaking to Seth, who's going to Einstein next year, so he used to be the Rav in Einstein for 4 years. So really, sort of even discussing like who your class is in Einstein, they become like your second family. It's not just who you're studying with, but a sense of companionship and almost like an extended family, really. And that certainly begins even now. And any opportunity to come together to feel that we're growing with these stages of life, that certainly is important. I just want to ask that the topic of cadavers, as grisly as it is, certainly is something that when you begin to really assess the halachic issues, are very broad. Things that have been discussed for hundreds of years that touch on many different topics. And we're only going to maybe even mention the beginning of one part of that this afternoon, and perhaps people want to talk about other issues later, so we can organize a part two. But today we're not going to be discussing issues of autopsies for Jews, because A, it's a very extensive topic, it's a very controversial topic, and it's something that maybe we'll reserve for a later date. And people have any questions later they want to pose to me, certainly feel free to do so then. It's a discussion in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is on Daf Lamed Aleph in the Beis, where the Gemara discusses the question about Yayin Nesech. How do we know that Yayin Nesech is Metame, this is Isser Hanam? And based on that Gemara about Yayin Nesech, the Gemara says that a person cannot get Hana'ah from a mace. And they learned that out. Anybody know the Gemara there in Avodah Zarah? How do you know you can't get Hana'ah from a mace? They learned that from Gezeirah Shavah, that based on Miriam's death, make Gezeirah Shavah to Eglah Rufa. Just like Eglah Rufa, so you cannot get Hana'ah from Eglah Rufa afterwards. So too, when a person dies, so you cannot get any Hana'ah from the mace. You can't get Hana'ah from the body, you can't get Hana'ah perhaps in a base like Pharos. There's a Shaila that was posed to me this past year. There's someone who in my community that is involved in running a base like Pharos, and an apple tree grew in the base like Pharos. A little bit like a morbid conflict. Question as far as getting any Hana'ah from anything like Rona Beis HaKvaros, all relate to those issues. You can't get any Hana'ah from the Tachrichin that a person is wrapped in, is buried in. So the question that's discussed in the Rishonim is clearly that issue of getting Hana'ah from a mace. Clearly that affects a Jew, that it relates to a Jew. Question is, does it relate to a non-Jew as well? Is a person allowed to get Hana'ah from a non-Jew? The Gemara itself is not clear. But maybe the question would seem to be that only a Jew has a chiyuv kfura, so maybe the iser hana'ah from the mace and the chiyuv kfura are linked, and therefore obviously by a Jew where there's a chiyuv kfura, there's also the iser hana'ah. Or maybe therefore a non-Jew where there's no chiyuv kfura, there's no obligation to bury a non-Jew necessarily, so maybe then there's not going to be the iser hana'ah. Or maybe the two are not linked. Maybe the iser hana'ah of getting pleasure or enjoyment from the or hana'ah from the body is unrelated to the chiyuv d'orais of kfura, in which case maybe perhaps a non-Jew also is included in that iser hana'ah. So most Rishonim, almost across the board, it's hard to find a Rishon that disagrees. They all say, based on the Rishalmi, based perhaps even on a Bavli, that there's no iser hana'ah for a non-Jew, for the mace of a non-Jew. And therefore, if a non-Jew passes away, right, chas v'shalom, so then you're allowed to get hana'ah from that dead body. That seems to be the way the Rashba and others learn the Rishalmi. The Rishon Zalman, even though the Rishonim don't mention this, the Rishon Zalman quotes the Gemara from Bechoros, Gemara in Daf Mem Hei Med Aleph. The Gemara says the following. There was a woman who was a zona who was sentenced to death by the king. And after she was sentenced to death, the Chachamim took her body and they wanted to sort of do almost like a scientific research on the body, and they wanted to count how many bones the woman's body had. So the Gemara says that they essentially did an autopsy. They essentially worked on the body afterwards. The Gemara says, or the Rishonim seem to assume, this lady was not Jewish. So Rishon Bazalman discussed, doesn't this seem to be a clear-cut raya, a clear-cut proof that you are allowed to get hana from the body afterwards? So even though one can claim that it was a mitzvah to do research on this lady, so you wouldn't have a situation of a mitzvah ba'aveira, and the very fact that they cut into her afterwards and research for scientific purposes how many bones she had would seem to imply there is no iser hana for a mace who's a nachri. Now all that being said, that's what the Ritva says and the Ramban and Tosvos and the Rashba and its Chidushim. There's no iser hana for a mace. The Mechaber paskens not that way. The Mechaber in Simon Reish Memtes says explicitly, the Torah doesn't say this, but it says explicitly that iser hana'ah, getting any hana'ah from the mace, applies both for a Jew and for a non-Jew. The question is, where does the Mechaber get it from? All the Rishonim seem to paskin and hold not that way. So people assume that because in the Tshuvas HaRashba, the Rashba was almost taking the position in the Tshuva that perhaps there is an iser hana'ah. He was almost talking from that perspective, even though that's not the way he paskined. So the Mechaber paskin, like that possibility in the Tshuvas HaRashba, and therefore Mechaber says that one cannot get hana both by a Jew and by a non-Jew. So even though the Mechaber paskin, unlike most of the Rishonim, maybe even all the Rishonim, that's still a Pesach Mechaber, the Isser Hana applies. And the Acharonim, almost across the board, the Primigadim and the Chidah, so they all say that even though the Rishonim seem to not be on the side of the Mechaber, once the Mechaber paskins L'chumra when it comes to Isser Hana, so therefore we say that that's the Pesach Halacha. That's what the many of the Acharonim say. That being said, the Pesach Tshuva there in Simen Reish Memtes, I'm sorry, Shin Memtes, so he says, and as the Prima Gaddim and others, that Iser Hana, of getting Hana from the Meis Akum, is only Durabanan. While it's probably the case that there's an Iser Doraisa when it comes to Hana of a Meis Yisrael, Hana from Meis Akum is only an Iser Durabanan. So that's the case, so that Issa Durabanan leads to the following halakhic conclusion, that seeing that there is a tremendous productive value of using a body, right, again, a non-Jew in this case, for the purpose of a science, of anatomy, maybe even cases of autopsy as well, so therefore that supersedes, that overrules the Issa Durabanan of getting Hana'a from the Meis Akum. Everyone clear so far on that point? Yeah, so the Mechaber says that we pass no chumrah. The Acharonim seem to assume it's only the Rabbanan, and therefore, based on that, the Poskim say that it would override that the Rabbanan to use in the body for anatomy or for other such things. Please.
The Mechaber says even the shroud.
Right, even the shroud, meaning the same way by a Jew. The shroud is everything, not just the body itself, but even the shrouds as well. So there are a number of actually different issues. Really three or four different issues that I want to mention in the next, I guess, 10 minutes or so that relate to this question in regards to the Hana'a from a Meis Akum. So one issue, as I just said, is the issue about anatomy. Now, how normally, if let's say, any of you, Seth could be an Einstein next year, and right around this time, we're taking the end of anatomy. It's a great experience. You'll love it. So they start anatomy, I guess, from October, November, right? And then you're given the body, you're given the corpse. And people sometimes, you know, name the corpse, which maybe things we'll discuss in a little bit later. So how do you know whether or not you're receiving a corpse, right, that is Jewish or not Jewish? Right? I mean, is that your responsibility to be miayin, you know, into that issue? So if you speak to Poskim, so they'll say, and this obviously applies for a dentist, for a doctor, for anybody else. So Poskim assume is that where are people getting corpses from? The people often in the hospital or people in nursing homes, you know, they give their permission for, the family gives permission that the body is used afterwards. And it's taken from the local nursing homes. The local nursing homes in the Bronx or in the city, right, Ruba de Ruba are gonna be non-Jews, usually. Right? Ruba de Ruba is gonna be non-Jews. And because the way that we paskin is that a mir hamatzoi, you don't have to be mi'ayin into a mir hamatzoi, right? Where does the shaila come up about whether being mi'ayin into a mir hamatzoi or not? If let's say we know that suits made by a certain company, often American companies, according to Reshefter, do not have shatness in them, so you don't have to go ahead and be mi'ayin that maybe, you know, one in 1,000 that we can assume is going to be a problem. So too when it comes to issues of anatomy as well. You don't have to sit there assuming that maybe this corpse came from someone that's Jewish. The assumption is that in this case, go bittul barov, so therefore we would allow anatomy in that case. I remember my fourth year being the Rav in Einstein, I got you can almost like imagine the scene, a desperate phone call. It was here in NYU from a couple of girls who were Frum students, and they were doing the anatomy, and they saw on the tag, or some tag, that the name was Goldman, right? So they, I think they just made their initial incision, and they saw a name that obviously is a Jewish name, so they call it. So obviously we had to call the dean and call this and call that, so we found out that this person actually was not Jewish, maybe his father was Jewish, whatever the case was, but it's like right in the middle of like your first day of anatomy. So obviously in a case like that had to come up, so perhaps if you're confronted with the fact the person really might be Jewish, obviously you have to be miayin then, but some a person that goes to dental school or medical school does not have to worry about that issue. There's an interesting shiloh that comes up, we'll discuss afterwards. So one issue comes up in regards to anatomy in the United States. A more complicated issue that obviously comes up is a person that goes to medical school or dental school, which some of you might down the road, because you know we all know how hard it is to get to medical school, person who goes to medical school in Eretz Yisrael, a person who goes to Sackler or Tel Aviv or other places. So one issue obviously then becomes more complicated, just making sure bichlal that, which schools do, the bodies are coming from non-Jews. But there's an interesting shiloh which is raised by a very famous Ramban, that we know that that there's Isser Halanas Hameis, you know, for a Jew, and that Isser Halanas Hameis is based on the Kedusha of Bnei Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah has a very beautiful article in Eretz HaTzvi, Simin Yud Beis, that discusses the Chiv Kura of a Jew versus a non-Jew, not in a way that's derogatory to a non-Jew, but that Kedushas Yisrael is a reflection of the Chiv of Lima Torah, is a reflection of the connection to Torah, and therefore that then, just like Tashmisha Kedusha needs to be buried, so too Bnei Yisrael also has a status Kemat Tashmisha Kedusha, also they have to be buried. Because they have to be buried, so the flip side of that is going to be the Isser of Halanas Hameis, right? Part and parcel of those two. So how about Halanas Hameis in Eretz Yisrael? So one interesting aspect about Halanas Hameis, not related to medical school, is that the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, in the 8th Perek, right around Pei Beis, I'll check in, that there's Isser Halanas Hameis in Yerushalayim. What's that? Halanas Hameis means not allowing a body to stay overnight, lina, right? Not allowing a body to go unburied. So the Gemara says that there's an Isser of Halanas Hameis in Yerushalayim. So the Rishonim say Isser Halanas Hameis in Yerushalayim, where there's Isser Halanas Hameis anywhere. Anywhere you are, you're not allowed to leave a body, go unburied. So the teretz that's given is that in Yerushalayim, there's no heter to allow one night, or even sometimes two nights. But in the United States, as most of you know, you've been involved before in Kvura, sometimes even, you know, the day afterwards, if it's covered for the mace, for family to travel in, there'll be more people there. So we allow perhaps a night, we try not two nights, but to allow for it to be more mechuvedik for the person who was nifter. And therefore, we don't suspend, right, that Isser Halanas Hameis for a day if it's kavod for the person. That's what the Gemara says. But in Yerushalayim, because of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, we don't allow that. We don't say, okay, the body's in Yerushalayim and people are flying in from the States, so let's bury tomorrow. No, if it's in Yerushalayim, the person has to be buried right away. That's one difference. And people know, if you've ever had dealings before with grandparents about what it's like to deal with the Chavar B'dishu and Shalayim, it's almost like the mafia. They're very makbid, they don't listen, like they're going to do what they do, and that's it. There's another broader issue of Halanas Hameis, which the Ramban discusses, which Baruch Hashem, we don't pass in this way, where the Ramban said that in the United States, in South Africa, in England, right, that Isser Halanas Hameis is not because of the ground of the United States, right? It's because of, right, the Kedusha Yisrael, that a Jew has to be buried because of their own inner Kedusha. But the Ramban said in Eretz Yisrael, where the Pasuk says, Va'aretz, v'losa tameyas aretz, do not make the land impure. So therefore, says the Ramban, that in Eretz Yisrael, it's a din in the Eretz itself. And therefore, says the Ramban, everyone has to be buried. It would be a being metame the land to allow anybody, Jew or not Jew, to go ahead and not be buried. So based on that Ramban, if we were Paskin like him, you know, how can you possibly do anatomy in Eretz Yisrael? Everyone has the Kli of Krura in Eretz Yisrael, Jew and non-Jew. Not because, again, of the Gavra of a Jew, but because of that issue of Eretz Yisrael. That's something that people discuss in regards to medical school. There's a third issue as well, which comes up, which is a whole topic in of itself, which I don't know if it applies. Anybody here at Kohanim? Right. Okay. Well, it's a topic in of itself. I'm sure that if you're at this stage of your careers, I hope and imagine that you research these issues. But the third issue that comes regards to Hanam and Mesakum or anatomy or things in medical school obviously relates to the issue of Kohanim, right? And this is something that if people want to look more into it, there's an incredibly sharp tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein. I've never seen him so sharp in a tshuva before. Another issue I'm discussing this. The Ravid has a comment that people discuss. But one issue this in a very broad sense, is sort of even forgetting about the actual anatomy, touching a body and other things, even the question about Tumas Ohel, right? Whether there's Tumas Ohel or not for Kohen and a non-Jew. Tumas Ohel for Kohen and a Jew, of course, we all know that. How about Tumas Ohel for Kohen and a non-Jew? So you have a non-Jew base. Can you even be in the same room? Can you even be in the same medical school? Can you even, dorm in Einstein if you're Kohen, and there might be the bodies brought back to the rooms tonight? Is there this din of Tumas Ohel or not? So there's machlokus between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber and the Tor are Mekel, that there's not Tumas Ohel. And the Ramah Paskins Luchumra. It's in Simen Shin Ayin Beis, Sif Beis. But even for that, again, I'm not telling people what to do or what not to do. When I was in Einstein, there were Kohanim there. So there, the Mechaber and the Torah, they all say that the L'chila person should avoid that, but Be'etzem, there's not Tumas Ohel for a non-Jew. And of course, those are issues, among other things, that come up as well. Maybe by the time you go to dental school, they'll have the robotics and anatomy instead of having to do anything more than that. So those are really the three big issues that come up in regards to Hana, Memeis Akum. One issue of whether it exists or not, and then issues as far as anatomy, and how do you know that you're working on a patient that's Jew versus non-Jew, and that's where we come into Bittul Berov in the United States. There's issues of anatomy in Eretz Yisrael, where obviously Bittul Berov does not apply, where a person has to be more careful, but then also the Ramban that says that there's an Isser Lina, keeping the body overnight even for a non-Jew. And lastly, the issue of Hanam Memeis Akum would be the issue about Kohanim and anatomy. It's an interesting discussion in the Poskim, by the way, about for the two of you or anybody else, if let's say we say the L'chachila, so a Kohen should avoid Tumas Ohel, so what does a Kohen do who's sick? Right? Should a Kohen avoid going to the hospital or not? And there the Poskim say that really, if we rely on the Mechaber, that there's not Tumas Ohel, L'chachila, obviously you don't want to go to the hospital. We have to go to the hospital, so therefore a person can rely on the fact, that, again, that we Paskin, according to most Rishonim, or many Rishonim, that there's not Tumah as far as Tumas Nochri be Ohel. I wanted to conclude with the following. I have a great schus, which I recommend many of you to do. I think maybe you're probably too young now, but that as far as in a non-halachic vein, so I serve on the Chevra Kedisha in Muncie, right? Some of you would say it's a great pleasure, it's a great, I don't know, whatever the right terminology is, it's only one of the more meaningful things in my life. And one of the many reasons for that is that, you might have nights where you get called to a Chevra Kedisha or to do a Tahara. It's midnight, it's 1 a.m, it's 5 a.m. People are pulling up there, they don't know if it's day or night, they're groggy beyond belief. But the entire process validates the kedusha of the person. The entire process from start to finish, the sensitivity towards the person who was the nifter, the mechila towards the person, the no speaking at all in the person's presence, the tefillah said over the person, it just accentuates the incredible sensitivity towards the kedushas ha'adam, which clearly exists when a person's living, and even now in their death, and even part of the process of kfura that exists as well. I say that only because that one thing which unfortunately I witnessed being around students in medical school, that there is almost like a lack of sensitivity sometimes in the wrong people, or by the wrong people, sometimes in a hospital setting. Right, jokes are being made, and that's part of what's discussed in halacha, like Marin Brachos and Marmoy Katan, about not talking divrei chol or anything else in the presence of a person who was nifter. But that over the course of time, the person starts making jokes around the person. They start giving them all sorts of crazy names. The person's in the hospital, they're talking about patients often in front of them. The patient will be in the room, and you're sitting a few feet away from the person, he or she or X, Y, and you often speak about the person as a case, as something interesting, as like a medical, something that's fascinating in medicine, and really sort of forgetting a little bit, a real person who's really in pain with a real family. And that's something that because it becomes like your profession, that sensitivity which is needed from day one becomes lost. So even though we speak perhaps in halachic terminology about, you know, there is an Isser Hana for a Mesakum, there's not an Isser Hana, there is Tumas Ohel, there's not Tumas Ohel, what should never be lost is the Tzem Elokim that lies in front of you on a table or in a hospital setting, and that sensitivity doesn't come, you know, during your orientation in medical school. That really comes from becoming a person that over the course of your life, Shinao and Yeshiva, becomes a person that feels the great Kedushas Ha'adam, Jew or not Jew, and something that certainly we integrate as well. So again, just the Chazer, we mentioned the Machlokes, the discussion we've shown him, there's no Hanam in Mesachum. The Mechaber Paskin's not that way, based on the possibility that Shubas HaRashba. The Acharonim say that even the Mechaber Paskin's...
Shubas HaRashba was only a speculation.
Exactly, right. It seems only speculation, the Rashba. The Mechaber Paskin's L'chumra. The Acharonim say that even though the Mechaber is a deviation from Rishonim, we should still Paskin L'chumra. Pesachei Tshuva says that that status of that Isser Hana is only Midurbanan, and therefore that would allow for anatomy for a Jew. And we mentioned the three halachic issues that come up. Bittul Barov of a non-Jew, of a Jew in the midst of other Jews. The issue about Halonis Ameis and Tumas Akum and Eretz Yisrael. And lastly, the issue about Kohanim in medical schools. Again, I'm sure it's something that people have already researched. If people have questions about these issues or anything, both for now and for the future, please let me know. Shalom, everyone.
If anyone would like to actually know-